are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I hope you had a fantastic weekend, a great start to the week on Monday as everybody continues to hopefully work from home and spend as much time as you possibly can at home. We're going to rejoin our series along with the rest of the Locked On NBA Network, looking at the best team in franchise history for each franchise. Of course, that means for the Timberwolves, the 2003-2004 Wolves and their playoff run. Just last week, we had three episodes. The first, we discussed the construction of the roster of the 03-04 Wolves, the improvements that were made following a seventh consecutive first-round playoff exit. The year prior, of course, those additions include Latrell Sprewell, Sam Cassell, Fred Hoiberg, a few other guys, as well as the Wolves actually swapped out seven of their top 11 players in terms of minutes played from the 02-03 season. Then in the second episode of last week, we talked about the roller coaster regular season that landed the Wolves with 58 wins and the number one seed in the Western Conference. And then on last Friday, we relived the exciting first round win over the Denver Nuggets, the first playoff series win in Timberwolves history, and the seven game second round win over Rick Adelman's Sacramento Kings as well. If you missed those episodes, please go back and give them a listen. It sets up today's episode quite nicely. Today, we're going to look at the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers, a hard-fought series that was defined by injury and supporting cast by both teams. A reminder, our next episode will be a deep dive into Game 7 of the Wolves-Kings series. So backtracking just a little, including studs and duds like we would normally do following a Timberwolves game in the 2019-2020 season. But we'll do more of a traditional game recap, talk about the high points and the low points, as well as naming studs and duds. That game, as a reminder, was broadcast previously on NBA TV. I have it on my DVR. And then for folks in Minnesota, it'll be on Wednesday evening on Fox Sports North. That will be Wednesday's episode. So be sure to listen to that to get you ready for Wednesday's game. Today, though, we'll be back looking at the end of that playoff run for the Timberwolves and that Lakers series. Before we get into it, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, let's set up the series for those of you who may not remember or haven't thought about this series in a while, or maybe weren't old enough to be watching and really knowing what was going on at the time. The Lakers-Wolves Western Conference Finals in 2004 featured, of course, the 58 win number one seed Timberwolves, and then the 56 win Lakers, who were the number two seed that season and had won the Pacific Division. This is a Lakers team who had won in the first round over Houston in five games, just like the Wolves beat the Nuggets in five, and then in the second round in six games over the Spurs, just like the Wolves beat the Kings in the second round, although I guess that was it took seven games to beat the Kings. The Lakers, this team, 56-win team, was on the heels of a 50-win team the previous season that lost in the second round, and that was after they had won three straight finals. So you'll remember in the 2000, 2001, 2002 finals, the Lakers won all three of those back-to-back-to-back championships, took a major step back in 2003, won just 50 games, and then made some big changes, just like the Wolves did before the season. Both teams brought in some older veterans. Well, the Wolves brought in some guys who were just on the backside of their prime, and Sam Cassell and Latrell Sprewell. And actually, I mean, Fred Hoiberg's not the same caliber of player, but Irvin Johnson, the Wolves added a bunch of older guys to really shore up that team. The Lakers took that to the extreme, added Karl Malone and Gary Payton to their starting lineup. Both of these guys were in the twilight of their career and were trying to hang on, trying to win a championship, and saw Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Phil Jackson, and the LA Lakers as their best chance to do that, and who can blame them? The Lakers really, it was largely the same team that had won just 50 games the year before. The other changes were Robert Orion and Brian Shaw were no longer with the team, essentially replaced by Malone and Payton. Also, Mark Madsen was gone on the Timberwolves now. He signed with the Wolves in free agency that season as more of a fringe supporting cast player. And otherwise, it was largely the same team. The supporting cast was pretty much the same. The main players were pretty much the same for the Lakers as the previous season. And they had a lot of pressure to improve on that 50-win team that was ousted in the second round in 2003. This particular Lakers team might have had a little more depth than the previous year, but there wasn't a whole lot of punch, especially off the bench. Derek Fisher was moved to the bench to accommodate Gary Payton and had one of the worst seasons of his career after being a really strong player for this Lakers team during their title run. And then also, even during that 50-win season the year prior, Fisher was relegated to the bench in the 03-04 season, and his shooting percentages went down. His overall, raw production went down. It was the first season in 4 years he averaged less than 10 points a game. After shooting over 40% the previous 2 years from beyond the arc, he shot 29% that year from three, only played 21 minutes a game, which was the least amount of minutes per game he played until his last 2 years in the league with Dallas and Oklahoma City in the mid-20-teens. So it really kind of blunted the impact that Derek Fisher could have on the game, and he just simply wasn't a good quote-unquote sixth man. This also ended up being Shaq's last year in Los Angeles. They had a mini rebuild over the next year and a half or so. Phil Jackson took the next year off in a contract dispute. So this was a weird Lakers team. It was the twilight of that back-to-back-to-back championship team after having that bad year in 03. This team made a run at a championship, and honestly is a team that, if healthy, and we'll get into this, the Wolves could have beaten this team and had a real shot against the Pistons in the finals. Also notably, Kobe and Shaq both had injuries during the season and only played 60-some games each. So there were some issues there as well. But that's setting this series up. The Lakers had a little bit more rest because they finished off the Spurs in six, while the Wolves needed 7 games to beat the Kings. But both teams were a little bit older, were pretty reliant on some of these supporting cast guys. The Wolves only had Garnett as a superstar. The Lakers obviously had both Kobe and Shaq. But then the question coming into this series was, could Sam Cassell, an injured Sam Cassell, and Latrell Sprewell, and to a lesser extent, the likes of Wally Szczerbiak, and some of the more offensively challenged guys like Trent Hassel and Urban Johnson, could they do enough to offset the impact of Karl Malone, of Gary Payton, of Derek Fisher off the bench? Would there be enough firepower for the Timberwolves to combat that? And assuming that Garnett was going to play as he normally did and have a superstar performance, the concern was both Kobe and Shaq could do that and the Wolves wouldn't have anyone to counter. So the question headed into the series is, how would these two teams match up in terms of the supporting cast? And we'll get into that here in just a second. Before we move into the actual games, I did want to quickly mention our friends at Postmates. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beers while you watch the game, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast. And that's where Postmates comes in. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I can think of right to my door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make my life easier with grocery delivery and whatever I can think of delivery too. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. So no more trips to the store, no more late night fast food runs. I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use LockedOnNBA. That's code LockedOnNBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Coming into the Wolves-Lakers Western Conference Finals in 2004, for the Timberwolves, Wally Szczerbiak was back from injury after missing a few games early in the playoffs, but obviously wasn't anywhere near 100%. He played less than 30 games in the regular season that year. So he was coming off the bench as sort of a sixth man. Sam Cassell had aggravated the cartilage injury in his hip during the series against the Kings, allegedly when he was doing his quote-unquote big ball celebration. But that may be urban legend, spurred on by Flip Saunders being Flip Saunders and kind of joking around about it. But at any rate, he had an aggravated injury coming into the series, and it was unclear. I don't remember it being super public at the time, but everybody knew he was a little bit dinged up, and he had some rough shooting nights, really in the playoffs. Even though he'd played overall quite well, he had dominated in game ones in both series and all that. The two issues coming into the series, of course, were how to defend Kobe and Shaq. Would the Wolves use Hack-a-Shaq? They had a couple of big bodies in Irvin Johnson and Michael Olajuwon, who are both capable defenders. And then also the likes of, you know, Gary Trent and also Oliver Miller was on this roster. So they had a lot more big guys that they could throw at Shaq. Obviously, Trent's given up a lot in size and Oliver Miller didn't provide a ton really on either end of the floor. And Olowokandi was, of course, a little bit more offensively skilled than defensively. And really, it was just a bunch of guys who were flawed players. And also Mark Madsen, the former Lakers big man who gave up a ton in size, but also did a pretty good job of defending Shaq overall. And then the question was, could the Wolves, if they were going to use Hack-a-Shaq to defend Shaq, would that work? And to what extent and how often would they use it? And then also how they would defend Kobe Bryant. There would always be essentially one defensive liability on the floor for the Timberwolves, either Wally Szczerbiak or Fred Hoiberg. Those are the two guys that were basically filling the wing next to the Latrell Sprewell-Trenton Hassell combination. Sprewell and Hassell were the starters, but Hassell's offense at times was unplayable. And so the Timberwolves, and also there was some foul trouble. We'll get into that too. But Hassell was in a lot of foul trouble, especially early in the series, which led to Szczerbiak getting more minutes. And Wally was good enough offensively and seemed to be feeling a little bit better after having his injury issues earlier in the season that he got a few more minutes. But the question was, how are the Wolves going to actually handle Kobe with really only one plus defender in Trent Hassell? Kind of an average defender in Latrell Sprewell at that point in his career, and then a couple of guys who are a little below average in both Szczerbiak and Hoiberg. But at any rate, those were the question marks coming into the series. The Lakers had, were in overall pretty good shape, and as mentioned last segment, were a fairly deep team. So could the Wolves supporting cast rival the Lakers? In game one, which was, of course, played in Minnesota with the Timberwolves having the number one seed advantage, the Lakers won that game 97-88. And this was a contest where, for the most part, the stars came to play. For the Timberwolves, Garnett only had 16 and 10. He shot 7 of 15. Just didn't really get into the flow of the offense a whole lot. Cassell also had 16 and 8, 5 of 14 shooting for Sam. And Latrell Sprewell had 23 points and 8 of 16 shooting. 6 rebounds, 5 assists, was the best all-around player on the floor for the Wolves in this one. They only had one other player scoring double figures. That was Michael Olowokandi off the bench. He saw 33 minutes in this game. Irvin Johnson only played 8 minutes. So the Wolves opted to go with the guy who had a little bit more offensive firepower. And actually, he had a 10 and 11. He had a double-double. For the Lakers, though, Shaq dominated to the tune of 27, 18, and 5 with 4 blocks, 9 of 16 shooting. He made 9 of his 11 free throws, which was not a sign of things to come. This was the only game where he was any good from the free throw line in this series, as we'll see in a minute. Kobe had 23 and 6 with 3 steals and 3 rebounds, 9 of 20 shooting. So Kobe and Shaq did the majority of the damage for the Lakers, but they also got 17 and 11 out of Karl Malone. I'll say Karl Anthony Towns. Out of Karl Malone, 17 and 11. Shot 8 of 13 from the field. Derek Fisher had 14 and 6 off the bench. So really just an overall solid performance by the Lakers, and they only won by 9. So at the time, it seemed to be a pretty decent sign for the Wolves that they were able to hang mostly tough for this game. The next game, also at Target Center, of course, was a must-win for the Wolves to kind of come close to regaining home court advantage. And they were really good in this game. KG had 24 and 11, 3 steals, 2 blocks, or excuse me, 3 assists, 2 steals. Latrell Sprewell had 17 and 8 in another really good game. Sam Cassell exited due to injury less than a minute into this game, though. This is a really weird game, and also weird that the Wolves won this so easily. Cassell went back to the locker room less than a minute into the game. He committed a foul, walked off the floor. Trent Hassell committed his second foul just a couple minutes into the game. Ended up playing less than 7 minutes in this game. He wasn't hurt. If you're looking at the box score, that was my first thought. I was able to find some longer clips of this game on YouTube. He didn't get hurt. He just simply had a second foul. The Wolves opted to go more offense in this game. Wally Szczerbiak had a strong performance. 16 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. Was a plus 21 in 39 minutes. Shot 6 of 16 from the field. Because of Cassell's injury, Derek Martin, the journeyman, former 10-day contract signee who really wasn't playing much at backup point guard, saw a lot of run in this game and was also really good. 15 points, 6 assists, plus 16 in 37 minutes. Shot just 4-11 from the field, but overall was a positive player. The Wolves went back to the Irvin Johnson well in this game. He had 7 and 8 with 3 blocks. Michael Olowokandi only played 8 minutes. So the rotation was really all over the place, especially with Cassell's injury and with Hassell's early foul trouble. He only ended up with 2 personals in this game. So after those first 2 minutes, he still only played 4 the rest of the game. It looks like he came in to start the second half as the as the starter from the beginning of the game. But then Flip Saunders stuck with Wally Szczerbiak movement after that. So just a really strange game in terms of what that rotation looked like. Shaq struggled. He was just 6 of 14 from the line, only attempted 10 field goals in 40 minutes. So the Wolves effectively used Hack-a-Shaq. He attempted more free throws than field goals, shot 6 of 14, which is basically 43% from the free throw line, had 14 and 16. And honestly, those 16 rebounds looks nice, but I mean, the Wolves will take just 14 points and 4 made field goals from Shaq any day of the week. And Kobe had a decent game, 27 points, but it took him 24 shots to get there, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. And they got nothing from those old supporting cast members. Peyton had 8 points. Karl Malone had 5 points, 9 rebounds. They combined to shoot 5 of 15 from the field, of course, 33%. Minnesota native Devon George, or Devin George, actually, had just 3 points and 1 of 6 shooting. Derek Fisher had 4 points off the bench. Nobody else had more than 4 points off the bench for the Lakers. And they got blown out by 18 points, only scored 71. And the Wolves even the series, heading back to Staples Center. Game 3, there were a lot of similarities to Game 1. Sam Cassell was back in the starting lineup. He only played 27 minutes in this game. Cassell and Sprewell both scored 18 points in support of Garnett, who had 22, 11, and 7 in his best game so far in the series. He did end up fouling out down the stretch of this game. He played 42 minutes, 9 of 21 shooting, fouled out down the stretch. The Wolves got 21 from Wally Szczerbiak off the bench and 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals as he continued his strong play. He only played 25 minutes but had 21 points. Trent Hassel played 16 minutes, had 6 points. So the Wolves clearly were trying to figure out the balance between Hassel and Szczerbiak. And game 1, it was mostly Hassel. The Wolves lost. Game 2 was mostly Wally. They won. This game was about 2/3 Wally, 1/3 Hassel, and they lost by 11, ultimately. Michael Olakindi was scoreless off the bench. Irvin Johnson had 2 points. Mark Madsen scoreless. Oliver Miller scoreless in 6 minutes. So the Wolves got exactly 2 points out of their center position in this game. Garnett had 22. Sprewell and Cassell each had 18. Wally had 21 off the bench. Fred Hoiberg was the only other bench player that scored. He had 2 points in 16 minutes. Only attempted 1 shot. So this is another game where the Wolves supporting cast, and I guess Wally's 21 would be the exception, but considering that non-Garnett, Sprewell, Cassell, and Wally players combined for exactly 10 points, that's 8 players combining for 10 points for the Wolves. The Lakers supporting cast in this game, Gary Payton finally broke out, had 18 points, 9 assists. George had 12. Karl Malone had 11, 6, and 5. And off the bench, they got 6 from Derek Fisher, 6 from Slava Medvedenko. And the Lakers actually got something out of the supporting cast where the Wolves got nothing. Kobe had 22. Shaq had 22. Both guys were pretty efficient. Shaq was 8 of 22 from the free throw line. So after Hack-a-Shaq worked well in Minnesota in Game 2, the Wolves definitely went back to the well in Game 3. Shaq only had 10 official field goal attempts. He made 7 of them. 8 of 22 from the free throw line. Under 37% for Shaq. Ended up with 22 and 17, 4 assists, 4 blocks in 44 minutes. So still extremely dominant. But you have to look at every one of those possessions he went to the free throw line, assuming the Wolves were getting some of those offense or some of those defensive rebounds. If their average points per possession is Shaq shooting 2 free throws and making 36% of them, that's not a bad trip for the Timberwolves defensively. The question is game flow. The question is rebounding. You know, Kobe himself also attempted 11 free throws and made 10 of them. So he was able to score 22 points on only 12 shot attempts. So he was also quite efficient. And the Wolves ultimately fell by 11 in this game as the Lakers supporting cast was far superior to the Timberwolves, which again is one of the key stories in this series. All right, next up, we're going to talk about pivotal game 4. As well as games 5 and 6 in this series, talk about what injuries did to the Timberwolves down the stretch of the Western Conference Finals. Heading into game 4 of the Western Conference Finals in 2004 at Staples Center in Los Angeles, Sam Cassell had missed the majority of the game to win back at Target Center after exiting the game with under a minute gone, and then came back and started, played 27 minutes or so in game 3 when the Wolves lost in L.A., Game 4, the Timberwolves decided to try and bring him off the bench. They started Derek Martin in this game. Cassell was only able to play in 5 minutes. He had 3 points on 1 of 4 shooting, no assists, no rebounds, no steals, and played just the 5 minutes. Derek Martin started, had 3 points and 1 assist on 1 of 6 shooting, only played 15 minutes. The Timberwolves opted to use Kevin Garnett at point guard for a while, move Wally Szczerbiak to the four and play Latrell Sprewell at the three, and then some mixture of Trent Hassel and Fred Hoiberg at the two. And it largely, it worked for stretches, kept the Wolves in the game. It ended up being okay defensively, but it took such a toll on Garnett. He scored 28 points, but it took him 24 shots to get there. He had 13 rebounds, 9 assists, again, mostly playing a lot of point guard, a steal and a block. They only got 12 points from Latrell Sprewell, 4 of 18 shooting, 0 of 5 beyond the arc. He had played so well over the previous few games, but only provided 12 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists in this game. Hassel played a little bit more than he had of late, scored only 8 points. Irvin Johnson had 2, Derek Martin had just the 3. Szczerbiak had 19 off the bench. And then Hoiberg and Madsen combined for 10 points. And just the Wolves simply ran out of firepower without Sam Cassell. If Sprewell is going to shoot 22% from the field and Cassell's only going to play 5 minutes, the Wolves need more than 7 out of Fred Hoiberg. They need more than 0 out of Michael Olowokandi and 2 out of Irvin Johnson. So another day or another game, another 2 points out of the center spot between Irvin Johnson, Michael Olowokandi, Oliver Miller. I guess Mark Madsen had 3 points. And, you know, putting Garnett at the point kind of had a trickle-down effect on the rest of the roster. So the supporting cast, again, was weak in this game for the Timberwolves. On the Lakers side, Kobe Bryant had 31 points, 8 rebounds, 31 on 24 shots. Shaq had 19 and 19. He shot 15 free throws in this game. The Wolves did go back to the hack-a-shack quite a bit, but he made 7 of them, so just under 50%. Karl Malone had 12 and 11, and Gary Payton only had 6 and 6. But they got 15 off the bench from Derek Fisher in this game as he finally broke out a little bit and looked a little more comfortable. So the Timberwolves, again, supporting cast was the issue. Garnett was really good, but was overextended in a role that wasn't intended to be his. And the Wolves simply ran out of gas. They actually headed into the fourth quarter, were down by 15, had a little bit of a push in the fourth quarter, forced the Lakers to try a little bit harder than maybe they wanted to headed into that final frame, and ultimately only lost by 7. But as the series kicked back to Minnesota, the Wolves were down 3-1. So going back to Minnesota, Sam Cassell missed the game, didn't dress for the game after playing just 5 minutes off the bench in the previous game. So the Wolves were severely shorthanded. Garnett was huge in this game, again playing a lot of point guard. Derek Martin started but played only 12 minutes, almost identical to the previous game, 2 points on 1 of 6 shooting, only 1 assist in the 12 minutes. Garnett played 45 and a half minutes, 30 points, 19 rebounds, 4 assists, 0 turnovers while playing quite a bit of point guard in this game. They also used Fred Hoiberg at the point. He scored 14 points, had 3 rebounds and 1 assist in 37 minutes. And Latrell Sprewell was big, 28 points on 21 shots, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. So that trio was really good. Szczerbiak only had 11 in 30 minutes on 9 shots, 0 of 4 beyond the arc. So he struggled a little bit here. The Wolves kind of trimmed back the rotation a bit. They actually started Michael Olowokandi for the first time in a long time. He played 18 minutes, had a point and 7 rebounds, and Irvin Johnson only played 5 off the bench. So the Wolves really shuffled their rotation. They put Hoiberg on the floor along with Hassel for some stretches. So they had Hassel, Hoiberg, and Sprewell. They did the same with Szczerbiak and basically were trying to go with almost a modern, more of a 3-wing type rotation and slotted Garnett in at center, Mark Madsen in at center a little bit, and really just tried to find a combination that could combat the Lakers. And it worked. The Wolves ended up winning by 2 in an exciting game. They were up by 10 heading into the fourth quarter and were able to hang on. Kobe had 23, took him 19 shots. Shaq had 17 and 13, 5 of 11 from the free throw line, under 50% again. Karl Malone was big, had 17 and 9, but they only got 8 and 6 out of Gary Payton. 17 from Derek Fisher off the bench in his second consecutive strong game, but nobody else really did much for LA in this game. So the Wolves were able to hang on, win by 2 at home. The series, of course, then kicks back to LA for game 6. The Wolves still don't have Sam Cassell, still trying to figure out a rotation. Does Garnett play some center? Does he play more point guard? Obviously, they don't really want him matched up against Shaq 1-on-1 and getting him into too much foul trouble. So what does this lineup look like? The Wolves decided to stick with the same lineup that got them the game 5 win. In terms of the starting lineup, they started Michael Olowokandi. Again, he was ineffective, having 2 points, 4 rebounds, committing 4 fouls in 17 minutes. Derek Martin started, was a little better in this game, had 8, 6, and 5, 3 of 6 shooting, played 24 minutes. And both Garnett and Sprewell again played more than 40. Garnett ended up with 22 and 17, 9 of 20 shooting, 2 assists, but 8 turnovers in this game. Pressed into duty at point guard, this was after a 0 turnover game in the win. in game five. He really struggled at the point, fouled out of this game as well. Zerbiak off the bench, 13 points, 5 rebounds. Hoiberg had 4 points, 7 rebounds. And the Wolves, again, struggled to get much production from the center spot. Olokandi and Johnson, again, combined for just 2 points. Madsen had just 3. Oliver Miller had 0 in 5 minutes. And the Wolves simply couldn't score enough against this Lakers team with the lack of Sam Cassell, with Hassel being a non-factor. He actually had 11 points in this game, but largely a non-factor. That was more of an issue than the defense was. The Wolves, again, were a pretty good defensive team this year, and losing Sam Cassell wasn't a huge part of that defense. In some ways, having Garnett at the top of their defense in some situations wasn't the worst thing. It just put more of a strain on Garnett having to run the offense and having to do so much more than even he was used to doing, already the league's MVP. But the Wolves just didn't have enough. The Lakers in this game, they got 25 and 11 from Shaq, and he was just 7 of 20 shooting free throws, 35%. But it was still enough to win. Kobe had 20 points on 17 shots. Gary Payton had only 7 and 8. Malone had 10 and 10 with 7 assists. And in this particular game, Kareem Rush got hot off the bench, made 6 of 7 three-pointers, had 18 points. And if you'd forgotten that, I'm sorry for reminding you, but he came out of nowhere after doing nothing in the series, played 24 minutes, drained 6 threes en route to 18 points. And that was it. That was all she wrote. The Wolves just simply ran into the injury bug more than anything. And then also a supporting cast for the Lakers that mostly rose to the occasion. Of course, the Lakers are going to lose in 5 games in the finals to the Pistons. And a big issue there was they just couldn't score enough themselves. It was actually a lot like the Wolves against the Lakers, in that the Lakers couldn't score enough against the Pistons. That was a lot of that was due to just how good that Pistons defense was more than anything else. But still a fascinating, what if Sam Cassell doesn't get hurt, and I know Wolves fans have gone over this in their minds forever now, but if Cassell doesn't get hurt, this Wolves team has a legit chance at beating the Pistons in the finals and, you know, potentially winning a championship. And if nothing else, they'd be in the first finals in franchise history. They still obviously haven't been back. They haven't won a playoff series since. They've only been to the playoffs once in the last 16 years. But this team with Sam Cassell had a ton of offensive firepower. The trickle-down effect of the extra minutes that Garnett had to play at the point guard, much less just overall. And then also having to play Derek Martin more often, shuffling the centers to try and figure out the hack of Shaq, maybe was more trouble than it was worth. For the series, Shaq still shot only 45% on free throw attempts. So it would seem on its face that hack of Shaq worked. There were 2 games that it worked extremely well and 2 games where it backfired. But Shaq overall had a pretty good series. He was kind of, his ability to at least hit 45% from the line was huge. He averaged 21 and 16 for the series. Kobe was just okay. He averaged 24 points, 5.5 assists, but he shot just 8 of 30, 27% beyond the arc, 41% from the field. Gary Payton only averaged 9 and 6. And Karl Malone was solid. He averaged 12 and 9 in this series. For the Wolves, they got 24 and 13.5 out of Garnett, 4.5 assists a game, over a block and a steal. Sprewell was good but inefficient, 21 points on just 41% free throw shooting, 5 assists and 4 rebounds. Wally Zerbiak was very good overall, 15 points, did shoot just 41% from the field and 33% from 3. Nobody else averaged more than 9 points a game. Cassell, in his 4 games, which included that two short stints, one of less than a minute and one of 5 minutes, so averaged 16 minutes a game over 4 games, had just averaged just 9 points and 2.5 assists. Trenton Hassel was the 5th leading scorer in the series for the Wolves, averaged 6 points a game. So Hoiberg didn't come to play. Derek Martin didn't do much with his opportunity. Michael Olowokandi, despite playing 17 minutes a game, scored 2 points and had 5 rebounds per game. The Wolves were so focused on using their fouls up against Shaq that they got, and not that the Wolves got a whole lot from the center position throughout the season, but they got basically 2 points a game out of Irvin Johnson and Michael Olowokandi combined, which simply, you know, you just got to get a little bit more than that to take some more pressure off Garnett. So it ended up being Garnett and an overworked Latrell Sprewell, a battered Wally Zerbiak, and a cast of characters who simply couldn't score against a Lakers team that, despite having a bunch of aging guys around Kobe and Shaq, it was enough to beat this injured Wolves team and to use some of their playoff experience and, you know, also some pretty good coaching on their side and Phil Jackson to win this series in 6. And Everybody knows the rest. As mentioned, the Lakers won the finals against the Pistons. The Wolves didn't go to the playoffs again until 2018 with Jimmy Butler and Karl-Anthony Towns. That was their only playoff appearance in now the last 16 years. They lost that series in five games to the Houston Rockets as the eighth seed. And that's that. That's the 2004 conference finals. As a reminder, we are going to talk specifically game seven to kind of relive game seven of the semifinals from that same season in our episode tomorrow on Wednesday. We'll be rewatching that game, providing you with studs and duds and an overall look at what went right in that game for the Wolves and why it was such a significant game in franchise history. So please tune back in for that. Otherwise, that's all we have for you here today at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Basically, every other one of our shows here at Locked On NBA are reliving the best franchises or the best seasons in franchise history. So be sure to check out a few other of our podcasts. Everybody's having a fun time being nostalgic and reminiscing on the good old days, really, for the majority of these franchises. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Wolves. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of our brand new podcast at Locked On NBA, Chad Ford's NBA Big Board. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.